Well, Lord, need your help tonight. I thank you, Lord, that you're always there to help us. We just praise you, Father, for all that you do in us. And that we just give us that faith to believe that you're always lifting us up when things go awry, as they say. And Father, I thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, that we don't have to rely on anything but you. And that faith that you've given us, Lord, thank you for it, Father, because I know it's just enough. Thank you, Lord, that that faith that you've given us, that we act on that faith and we believe. And when we believe, we know actions happen. Things supernaturally happen. Miracles happen. Lord, we just thank you for it. We praise you, Father, for this great blessing you're fixing to pour out upon your people. And I thank you for it, Father. I thank you for these days ahead, Lord, where people are going to come together, families are going to come together, Lord, and eat meals and fellowship. Well, Lord, I'm just asking you that your bride come together in fellowship with you and just glorify you, Father. And I thank you for it. I thank you, Lord, that you are helping us, filling us, guiding us, leading us in every way possible. Lord, help us to die to this old flesh, this old carnal way of thinking. Thank you, Father, for helping us through that. In the name of Jesus. Father, put joy in our hearts, because the joy that you've given us, Lord, is joy indeed. And when we look at the days when we have those bad days, we think are bad days, is just a lesson from you, that we'll just look and see you, Father, in the whole thing. Father, we just thank you for that. In Jesus' name, bless us tonight with your presence and your wisdom, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. Joe, can I pray for you right now, if you don't mind? Okay. All right, brother. I want to see a smile on that big face. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I just lift up Joe to you. He's a true brother. And I thank you, Father, that you're working in him. You're putting joy in his heart. You're teaching him how to walk this life of faith. He has changed so much, Lord, just in the last year, that it's just awesome to watch. Just like us all, Lord, you're bringing us all into that brother and sisterly love, to where we love each other so much, Lord. And you're knitting our hearts together. And you've pulled Joe in here also, Lord. I know he's been gone from us, but we know that immediately that love starts flowing toward him. And that joy from you, Lord, fills him. And that he's going to have a good time tonight, in Jesus' name. We command those spirits of depression, oppression off of him right now, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that the workload that he's had, it's going to seem like nothing just in a minute. And, Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that the heaviness is gone, that the joy has come, and that the lightness of the Holy Spirit is working throughout his whole spiritual being right now, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for my brother. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. All right. Anybody else got a prayer request or would like to pray? It's a lively bunch. God's gonna get my praise. Go, George.
Father in heaven, I want to thank you that you have not left us orphans. And anybody in the body of Christ that feels like they're alone, that you are closer than a brother. And Father, I just thank you for your word that tells us all these things that we can trust. And even when we're surrounded that we're still the majority and we still have rule and reign and authority. So, Father, I just thank you that we are salt and light wherever you put us, and that we are yours to use however you want to use us, Father. I'm blessed to be a slave to Christ. Amen.
Amen. Ditto. Thank you, Lord. Okay, Denny, go ahead, brother.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd like to pray for our daughter, Beulah. Somehow, there's, for some reason, there's being piqued an interest on this flat earth teaching. And she's asking me if I ever looked into it. So I've been starting to look at some stuff right now for her. Kind of wants me to do it with her, because she, you know, she's, you know, they try to be pretty convincing, I guess. I've never really looked into it, but I did. So I just want to pray for her and also for the understanding to come. So Father, we pray for Beulah that you would guard her and protect her and help her to, I'm just glad that she has a, wants to know truth. And so we just thank you, Father, just protect her from all the deceptive ways that we can bring a teaching like this in, and just help her to understand it, and even help me as I look into it, Father. And I thank you for it. And thank you, Jesus. I mentioned it to David, and that, and he, you know, shared just his feeling. There is something on the site, which I looked up and I sent that to her. But also, I'm amazed at what they, how they, you know, they just like, they take the verses like the four corners of the earth. And they say, well, how could you have a sphere if you got four corners? You know, they take those, or the ends of the earth, you know, and they, it's like the gospel is going out to the ends of the earth. Well, there must be an end to the earth. You know, they're taking it literal instead of as an idiom, or what do you call those? You know, it's just something to describe it in a different way. They take the one where Jesus was taken up into the mountain by Satan and showing all the kingdoms of the world, you know. And they say, well, how could you see all the kingdoms in the world if you're on a round sphere? You must have been on a flat surface. But they're taking it as a literal happening, you know, and they're still, the ones who challenge say, well, where's this mountain that he supposedly climbed and saw all these kingdoms? So yeah, you can see how they're perverting the scriptures there. But anyway, so it's kind of fun looking into it and seeing the different things. Yeah. Why? Yeah.
Yeah. Well.
About his salvation going out to the ends of the earth. It would mean the uttermost parts of the earth. But, you know, so does an earth have an end? It must have an end. There it says right there, the ends of the earth. So there.
Yeah.
But it's how they're perverting the whole thing. But,
yeah.
Anyway, I don't know if anyone's ever looked into that or, you know.
Well, I never looked into it because I already knew by my natural lookings. To understand that we live on a sphere, we live on a ball. All you got to do is walk out to the ocean and watch a ship go across, go out of your sight, because it goes over the hill. And it don't take long either, I'm telling you. And even when you look through a surveying instrument, when I surveyed rice levees, you can't go any further than 1,500 feet because of the earth curvature.
Yeah.
Or you'll have levees that won't hold water. And it's just craziness. I think what it is, I read this when that stuff first started coming out, and somebody commented and said on a commentary about the flat earth, he said, this is a distraction of Satan to get the Christians distracted and divided. Yeah. That's what it is. I said, well, that's probably true.
Yeah.
So we got a bunch of pancakes out there in the universe, huh?
We live on a Frisbee that's got a dome over the top of it.
Amen, brother. Amen. So all them times that I've that I sailed the ocean blues. I could have fell right off the edge of the earth and not known it. Them people take you anywhere. Yeah, Barry.
And why don't they, if there's an end of the earth, I'd like to see them take their camera, go take a picture of it, bring it back to us.
Yeah. Where is it? It's got to be. Somebody lives out there, don't they?
That's what they're saying. You know, come on, just show me a picture.
Yeah, I need to see some. I need to see the edge of the earth and the space right next to it.
Yeah.
Right? It's just craziness. Something to get people off on something. David may have something on the site there with, about that flat earth. I think he did something on it here.
Yeah.
About a year or so ago. Maybe a little while longer than that. I don't remember. Yeah, Barry.
Yeah, I want to pray for our friend David down in the San Diego area. We chatted with him a couple of days ago, and he's just got all kinds of physical problems. He's an evangelist, and worked at the jail, as a chaplain there, and worked in hospitals, as a chaplain kind of guy, and could talk to anybody, just a natural evangelist. But he's really got problems with his back and hips, and he's got edema, in his legs. He can't walk. He's just in terrible shape. He's younger than we are. I'd like for everybody to agree with me in prayer on this. Father, we lift up David to you. Father, pray you bless him. And we pray, Father, that you give him faith for healing, that you lift him up. He's got a surgery scheduled soon for hip replacement. And Father, we pray for healing for him. We pray that that you're merciful to him, and encourage him, Father, and lift him up in his spirit. He's down. He's in a huge amount of pain. And Father, you're the great healer. Mm-hmm. And we pray for good healing for Brother David. And Father, we want to see him up and about and joyful. And Father, we thank in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Is he of the Baptist persuasion?
No.
He has the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but he doesn't pray in tongues. He's a Navajo Indian, and I know that his grandmother was a Navajo witch, and I know that sometimes that kind of stuff in your background can hinder speaking in tongues. He believes in speaking in tongues, but he doesn't believe that, it takes that one verse where Paul says, do all speak in tongues. You know, there's some things there that where there's not as much knowledge. And yeah. He has been associated with Calvary Chapel. I'm not really sure exactly what all their doctrine is. The Lord has healed him in the past. He knows that the Lord, he'll say things like, I know the Lord can heal me, but I don't know that he will heal me. And he has just been in this really heavy trial with so much pain for so long. I can understand him growing weary. And so we've been standing in the gap. We try to speak encouragement to him. We speak scripture to him. And we're learning from this as well. We can't put our faith on somebody else. And yeah. I sure don't want to, try to figure out why he's in this trial or anything else. I pray for David. I was up praying for him quite a bit last night in tongues and this morning. And so, Lord, we do. We pray that you're going to pour out the blessing of the Holy Spirit upon him and lift him up. And, Lord, that he's going to pray in tongues. He's going to be praying the perfect prayer of faith. And Lord, that you strengthen his faith. You are there with him. He confesses that. He believes that. He believes that you're at work in his life through all of this. There's a lot of good confession there, but for whatever reason, Father, the total faith for healing is not there. Lord, I pray you pour out the Holy Spirit upon him, because that is the spirit of repentance. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin and righteousness and judgment. And Lord, let him repent and believe that, yes, healing is for him, and your word never fails. And I know that he loves the word and he believes the word. Enlighten the eyes of his understanding by the power of the Holy Spirit to see more of you and your will in the word. And Lord, I just believe that this surgery keeps getting put off and put off and put off, because you have a reason for that, and it's because you're just going to have your will here, and it's going to be good. It's all working together for good. And Lord, I just don't even want to try to figure out really what's going on here. Your wisdom's beyond my understanding, but we trust you in this, and we stand in the gap for our dear brother, and we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey, let me make a suggestion to you, if I might. There is a wonderful teaching that Kenneth Hagin has called The Most Important Things to Know About Healing. And it's real good. And it might help him. In fact, I know it will. It'll help him on his faith. And it'll also help him about this, if it's God's will business. Because Hagin goes through all of that. And you know how Hagin is. He's pretty down to earth.
You know, we've really encouraged him to listen to the UBM teachings. You know, he knows we have faith. He knows we're different. He knows we're different than the other people that pray with him and pray for him.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, the Lord's just got to move on his heart. And I think part of it being a chaplain in the hospital is he has seen people that, he's prayed for them and they haven't made it, or they didn't get healed. He's seen, but, you know, they're in man's system. And, the Lord's just got to give him the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation of the true knowledge of Christ and the power of the word.
That's right. Well, here's what I found out about working in hospitals and prisons and things like that, mm-hmm. is that you have to be led by the Holy Spirit to pray for these people.
Yeah.
You really do. The Lord knows who he wants to heal, and if they've got the faith to believe, you know. So, I don't know. That's just my opinion. I believe that. I believe the Lord leads you to pray for those people. And there's going to come a time when the glory of God falls, and people will be able to do that. But if you have minimum faith... It's not his faith, actually, unless it's a gift of faith that God has placed on him that will heal those people. It has to be their faith. Anyway, y'all know that. But that is a good teaching. I don't know if you can ask the Lord about it.
Okay.
All right. Anyone else? What's his name? David. His name is David. Wade, did you have something you wanted to share?
Prayer for a headache.
Okay.
I'd like to get started with this Kenneth Hagin thing. Read it for myself and exercise the faith that's necessary. That's therein. My head is killing me, and my back, my eyes, it feels like they turn backwards, and the back of my eyes are hurting.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to pray for you. And now it's up to you to believe, okay? We're going to do this. In the name of Jesus right now, we lift up Wade to you, Father. We thank you for our brother. And Lord, he's not under the curse. He's a child of God. And right now, in the name of Jesus, we command those that headache pain to leave him. In Jesus' name, we command all symptoms to leave from him right now in the name of Jesus. We command those spirits of infirmity off of him right now in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that's filling him up even as we speak. And it's putting into his mouth and his mind to praise and thank you for his healing, Lord. And we praise you for it, Father, that Wade is healed by the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God.
Thank you, Lord.
All right, brother. Anything else?
No, thank you.
Okay. Well, you're healed in Jesus' name. Get up, run around the house there, Wade, and praise God. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Joe, did you have something you wanted to say? Joe DeBrosi? I can't hear you for whatever reason.
There we go. I had a double mute on. I guess I got two mutes on this thing.
Okay.
No, I was just saying, I don't know if you've already considered it, Marilyn. You were talking about how David, his grandmother was a witch, you said? Native American witch?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, from my experience, and I don't know if, I mean, anyone else has, regarding witchcraft, there's a lot of, when it attacks me or, you know, when I come against it, it's, or I mean, even, you know, I guess there's probably some from my family past, a lot of pain in the body, you know, physical issues, like, you know, the pain and the stuff like that. So just, you know, just something to kind of pray against, you know, whenever you pray for him. Or I mean, just thought I'd throw that out there, because I know you said he's in some major pain. In the moment you said, Native American witch, I thought, witchcraft. Because, I mean, I've dealt with, I mean, I've never personally dealt with the witchcraft when it comes to the Native Americans, but when I used to go up to that little church in New York, there's an Indian reservation nearby, and we used to always feel the witchcraft, you know, like whatever were spirits or whatever were operating there. So I just thought I'd throw that out there if you haven't been considering that already.
Yeah. In the extended family, his extended family, there's someone that is into occult, and we believe that there may be some witchcraft coming from this extended family member against him, and we prayed against that as well. And we break any curses, hexes, vexes, spells against David from anybody, from any source. We break the power of those curses in the name of Jesus. We break the spells and the curses. We cast them down in the name of Jesus. And Father, we ask that you send your angels to surround David, protect him from these influences that are attempting to hurt him. And Father, we thank the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead, Dave.
I personally, when I had occult demons around and on me, I had to cast them off myself personally. I don't know if he's done that. And he's had to do it with the presence of somebody else that was baptized in the Holy Spirit that agreed with me. I don't know if he's done that or not.
I don't know. Not
that
sure.
That's you know, spiritual warfare 101. He's got to take up the sword, too.
Yeah, we'll talk to him about it.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. Where is he about this spiritual world around us, I guess, this witchcraft, this warfare he's in?
I'm not sure. Could you?
Yeah, that would be – he's got a little education on this. So that'd be helpful.
Some education.
Yeah, we're going to talk to him about it.
Yeah.
Amen. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Leon, go ahead, brother.
Hey, I just want to share something. this might be for Wade. I'm not sure, but I don't get many headaches, maybe one a year, sometimes none a year. And yesterday I had one on the left side of my head. Had to be on the left side. I prayed about it and it did not go away. And I kept it all night long. And I went to the meeting this morning and it was still pounding. And I thought, this is strange because I never get them. And even if I do, they're pretty much gone in no time. Excuse me. But they prayed for me this morning, Wade, and it's been gone. I don't even know when it left. I never thought about it anymore. I agreed with the prayer, and I didn't think about it, and it's gone. And you just hang on to that, and I think you'll get relief. So I just want to praise God for that. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for me. And I praise you. I'm something I'm not accustomed to, but and I don't want to get accustomed to it either. But I just praise you for healing me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Joe Britt.
What I did say earlier was, I love you all in Afrikaans.
Oh, okay. How you say that again?
Ek is lief vir julle.
I ain't even going to try.
Ek is lief vir julle.
I swear it sounds like I can still feel it.
Okay. You know, I need tequila.
Oh, okay.
Okay, well. That's everybody's try it to Afrikaner. Y'all failed miserably. Say it one more time, y'all. Be quiet. Say it one more time.
Ek is lief vir julle.
I can sleep with yellow.
That's close. That's very close.
Okay, all right. I told you I'd get this language.
Sorry, what I do have is on Monday night, I have a terrible headache. If I'm sitting upright, that's fine. But if I'm lying down, I couldn't sleep. So I've emailed Michael and asked for prayer. I think about them, just after midnight, I was fast asleep. It took about an hour and 20 minutes for me, for the Lord to heal me, completely heal me. So thank you for the prayer. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. Yeah, when you emailed me, David was in here. We both prayed for you.
Yeah.
So praise God.
Well, that's three cases. Maybe we gotta come against this. It might be some witchcraft coming against us.
Well, I can tell you what we think it is. We think it's this chemtrail business. A lot of that could be witchcraft, also, Dave. I'm not saying that's not part of it, but the chemtrails. We know that they are taking a lot of people out there. A lot of them in the hospital with sniffles and, you know, that kind of business. But a lot of headaches, too. Yeah, we can pray against all that. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we're your children. We are not under the curse. We neutralize any kind of chemtrails that have fallen from the skies on your people, your chosen people. And we thank you, Lord, that we're not under the curse and we don't receive any kind of chemical reaction in our bodies in Jesus' name. Matter of fact, everything that falls on us is good things. And we praise you for it, Father. And as far as witchcraft goes, we cast down and reverse every curse that's spoken against your people in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that we don't have to worry about that either. That all of these curses that are thrown to your people, and we know they hate you, they hate the Christians, but we know that we are protected by your Son. We thank you, Father, that we don't have to worry about that either, because our faith that you have given us is in action, and we praise you for it, Father. I heard a great quote one time that said, the most faith, you know what faith is? Everybody knows what faith is, but faith is just acting like the Word of God is true. That's what it is. It's just acting like the Word of God is true. When you read something in the Word of God, you know that it's true. When he says, by his stripes you were past tense, healed, that means you're healed. Praise God. And that's what we do. We just believe what the Word says. We don't believe what our body says. We don't believe what the doctor says. We don't believe nothing but what the Word of God says. And we act on it. We have to act on it. If you don't act on it, you're not proving that you have faith. So we have to act on it. All right, well, now I'm off the soapbox. Anybody else? Anna, did you have something? I saw you unmute a while ago. Did you have something you'd like to share?
Hey, Michael. No, if I did, it was an accident.
Oh, okay. All right. Y'all doing okay?
I think so. Yeah, I'm just driving.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Come back in here. What do you mean you're just surviving? Is that what you said?
No, driving.
Oh. Oh.
Okay. I was driving too.
Okay. Well, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. My ears are healed too. In Jesus' name. And they are. Shalonda put her hand, Lord showed to Eve the other night, and she put her hands on my cheeks, and I can hear a whole lot better. I can hear just like a normal person in Jesus' name. Okay, who's next? Is anybody else? Yeah, Debbie.
Yeah, I wanted to add on a little bit what Denny said about Beulah. The fact that I've really been praying for a lot and for Gloria. And so the enemy knows that, how we bring something in like this. We haven't heard Gloria's been seeking that flat earth, but she lives with Beulah and Andy. So how the enemy would bring something in like this, draw a curve in there to offset our prayers or our faith or something, or just to deter them from receiving anything that God wants to do. I just want to bind that and come against that. Amen. And anyone else who's praying for people and God, anyone wants to bring these things in like that. So Lord, I just do, we just bind these, this big distraction, Lord, and this hindrance, Lord, that the enemy is trying to bring in there, but Lord, he has no success over it. God, we take authority over him. We take authority over his tactics right now in Jesus' name. We just bind the spirit of this confusion, this confusing subject, Lord, and Lord, there'd just be a waste of time to Beulah, and they would not begin to take on Gloria's interest, Lord, or that they will not hear you, Lord, but they will not push you away further, Lord. Thank you, God, that you hear our prayers, Lord, and that our prayers are effective, and we thank you, God, and we just bind this stuff now in the name of Jesus and bind all hindering spirits in Jesus' name to our prayers and to Gloria and Beulah, anyone else that any of us pray for, bind all these hindering spirits, everything he wants to throw in there in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for answers to prayer, God.
Thank you, God. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Okay, anyone else? Testimony or praise report? Any news? Yeah, go ahead, Judy. Sue?
I'd like to pray for Trump. For some reason, he's crossing my mind. Lord, I don't know what's going on with his health, but Lord, I pray that you have healed him and you have covered him with a hedge of protection from what the enemy has tried to do against him, trying to poison him. Lord, I just thank you, Father, that your word says that anything poisonous that we take in will not cause any harm to us. So I claim that word on him, on President Trump. And thank you, Father, for healing him. And I pray that the enemy is found out, is exposed.
Amen.
And that the enemy will be put to shame. And
thank you.
Justice would be done in Jesus' name.
And I want to add that I pray that the taster, or
tester,
was,
tester.
Tester.
Yeah.
Amen. Is healed in the name of Jesus. They said he was pretty sick. And then I read somewhere that was the chef is the one that tastes his food. So I don't know if that is him, but Lord, we pray that he's healed also in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Amen. They're desperate, folks. They're desperate. This is, I don't know, it's about 15 times that they've tried to assassinate him.
Oh, Michael, I wanted to add that on the regular news, I don't know about Fox News, but the other regular news, they said that Trump went to the hospital Saturday for a regular health checkup. They didn't mention anything about the poison or nothing else.
Of course not. They're not going to.
Yeah,
they're
not, I know.
Going to.
I just wanted to tell you, this is what my friend said when I told her, what? Oh, how'd that happen? Well, the news didn't say anything about that. I said, no, they won't.
No, they won't. Actually, some of Trump's people are trying to for lack of a better word, hide that fact. You know, they're coming out and said there's all kinds of conspiracy theories out there that he's been, but you know, that's, I don't know. Anyway, I believe this happening. I know the deep state is getting backed into a corner, and they're going to try everything they can to get rid of this man. But they're going to lose. God's already said. God said. Isn't that what he said? God said. And if God said, it's over. Forget it. Boys, you're going to lose this game. For a while, anyway. Amen. Yeah, Leon.
You know where a conspiracy theory came from? When Jack Kennedy got assassinated, the CIA made that up so they could push back on all the theories that were talking about the lone gunman and all that stuff, all that foolishness.
Yeah.
So they're the ones that made that up.
Yeah.
And it's become very popular. Yeah. Most of your conspiracy theories are true, though.
Yeah. Unfortunately, that's true. Most of them are. They have rewritten history. Just look, y'all remember when y'all were going to school? Some of you younger, older ones there, you can remember going back to school. When you learned the Constitution, you learned the Bill of Rights, you learned civics, you had American history, and they don't even teach that stuff anymore in schools, public schools, and most of the public schools. They don't teach the Constitution. They don't teach the Bill of Rights. They don't teach any of that stuff. But for a reason. Okay. Anybody else got a comment or anything they'd like to say? Yeah, Debbie.
I like just to pray about what you said about they're doing everything they can to come against Trump. So, Lord, I just, you know, they're doing that, God, and we pray. And we thank you that you will do everything to come against them to stop them, Father, in the name of Jesus. We want to be a part of this God. We pray always that it will, things will come back upon them, Lord. We pray, Lord, and thank you that you will do everything you can to stop them, God. In Jesus' name, we thank you, God, and think that you're going to be glorified, and you'll be glorified in Trump's eyes, too, God, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for filling up President Trump with your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. So he could have a real gun. That's a big gun there. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Yeah, Missy.
Can I ask a question?
I don't know. What is it?
Or may I? I can ask it, but may I?
Okay.
Okay, let me just preface it with this. I was visiting Barbara Saturday, and we were talking about, you know, the man-child anointing and stuff like that, and you know, what had hit me, before I went there, I'm not sure if it was, you know, that morning before or a couple of days before. Anyway, I was thinking, you know, okay, when the man-child gets anointed, okay, there's, you know, I'm like thinking, is that a worldwide thing? Because all at once, because I'm like thinking, okay, you know, there's some that's going to be, you know, gathered together, you know, and praising and worshiping the Lord. And there's other parts of the world where there's going to be man-childs. I'm sure they're going to be sleeping. I'm like, how's that work? You know, I'm like, I don't know, you know, whatever. And then when David said on Sunday, and this was the first time I really caught this, and I he said some things that I kind of like, he was saying about that UBM was supposed to be the point of the spear, of the spearhead of the man-child ministry. In other words, the head is born first. And when he's talking about Eve's dream about the 12 of men sleeping, he thought that might be man-childs that wake up or whatever, are resurrected after the main,
the first church.
I don't know. Yeah. Well, no. It almost sounded, no, it sounded to me like, no, not like the way he was saying it was this, that how I understood it was is that the UBM was going to be the point of the spearhead, in other words, the head of the man-child company. And I know there's the first fruits, and then there's the second fruits, but that isn't what I understood him to say. Like those out of UBM in particular were going to be the first ones to be woken up or resurrected, and that from there different ones, I guess, throughout the world would be woken up. In other words, it's not going to be instantaneous everywhere. That's how I took it. I kind of felt like it was somewhat of an answer about what my question was. And am I making any sense? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Not a word.
In other words, the UBM.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, Missy. Okay. I understand. Oh, so what's your question?
Well, am I understanding that right, what I said? In other words, the UBM is what going to be the, I guess it's the best way to say it, is the leadership of the man-child ministry, the first fruits of the man-child ministry that gets anointed first. In other words, the leadership gets the anointing, that the headship gets the anointing first, and then there's others that get it, then after that aren't, does anybody understand what I'm saying? Because there was things that he said, he kind of pointed to this twice, and
But yeah, and you want to address that, because I only listened to a little bit of it Sunday. I got tired. I got carried away. I got taken away from it.
Do you understand, Leon, what I'm saying, Leon?
Are you asking if the man child first, if the fellowship here is going to be the first ones that are anointed for the man first fruits man child ministry? That's the way, right, I understand it. But I don't think it's going to be much long after that before all of them are. I don't know that, but I that's what I think. But what, okay, what do you say, Leah?
Were you talking to me, Michael?
Your name? Yes. Yeah. Okay. I was. But okay. I didn't listen to the whole thing, so I'm kind of got caught.
Yeah, it's pretty much what you were saying, that, and it's what David said on Sunday, is that it would be the, like you said, the head of the spear, you know, the tip of the spear. And then from there, it would flow down, let's say, and others would be brought into the man-child ministry. But I don't think it's like David gets anointed and then next week somebody else gets anointed. I think it's almost spontaneous, where people get anointed together, but somebody has to be the head of that.
And right, and that's what I'm saying. That's what
David is saying will happen to UBM. And, you know, there may be several people in UBM or related to UBM that are anointed, not just David, but several people. And then around the world as well. And it could happen instantaneously. You know, there's if we said it's going to happen this way, it probably won't.
know? Well, I believe the anointing for this fellowship for the man-child is going to be all at the same time.
Yeah.
That only makes sense, you know. That only makes sense.
Right.
Yeah, Dave.
He made a statement about the men sleeping were the man-child, but also that it was an illegal hold on them to keep them down in sleep right now. There was an authority over them that was illegal.
You say illegal or legal?
Illegal.
Okay. Yeah, I agree.
Which was different.
Yeah.
If I'm correct, I thought he was saying those 12 were the apostles, like with Jesus and the apostles. Didn't he say that?
Well, the man-child ministry is not part of the fivefold ministry. The man-child ministry is like Jesus. Jesus appointed the apostles, prophets, and he actually appointed the apostles, and then the apostles appointed the prophets, preachers, and teachers.
But the apostles took over when Jesus left the scene.
Yeah.
And they were the man-child then, in a broader sense. I believe that's what I heard.
Okay. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I didn't, like I said, I didn't hear that part of, but that would be the first time I've heard that.
Yeah.
I know there started out to be 12, but there were 25 in the New Testament.
Actually, you're talking about we're talking about the original apostles.
Yeah. Actually, there was 120 in the beginning. But
are you talking about the room, upper room?
Yeah, right.
That's the anointing. I know for actual people named apostles, including Jesus, there's 25 in the New Testament.
Right, right.
Yeah. That's part of the fivefold ministry. The man-child ministry is designated by Jesus, Joshua, David, Moses, all them Old Testament guys. I think that Joshua was probably, I think David teaches that Joshua was one of the most nearly like the man-child ministry. Has anybody else heard that? His ministry was, other than Jesus, of course, other than Jesus. Yeah, so I don't know. Yeah.
I also think David said probably about 3 weeks ago, he was talking about the 144,000 would be anointed as the man-child ministry.
Yep, that's over the world.
Yeah, yeah.
All over the world, 144,000. Now, we talked about, he and I talked about that before, and he has some questions about it. He doesn't really know if that's a spiritual or a natural number, you see. If you think about all the billions, what is there, 8 billion people in the world? Right. And you only got 144,000 people, man-child ministries, that's not very many. That's just a real small percentage.
Well, it's only 170 countries. I think it's 165, but
look at the people, though. Look at the people, though.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, so that would be 144,000 divided into the total population, well, a Christian, well, total top population. There'd be a bunch of man, very few man-child for the amount of people. So I don't know.
Well, I don't think they're going to be a great group of man-childs.
No, I don't either.
I think the bride's going to come up right behind them, and they're going to do the work. So somebody's got to be in charge.
Yeah.
And that's basically what the man-child's going to do. He's going to teach the bride, and then she's going to do most of the work.
Then there's you're right. The what did Jesus do? Just look, see what he did. That's what the man child's going to be doing.
Right. Well, he took 12 and went from there.
He grew up the bride, didn't he?
So the man child's going to put the woman to work.
Yeah,
that didn't sound right, Dave.
The patriarchal thing, you know what I'm saying?
No, that didn't sound very good at all, David.
Easy. No, that's true. The man child will be sending. He'll be the bride. The bride's going to do a lot of the work. There's no doubt about that. The man child is the wisdom and the power, right?
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be a lack of work for either one.
No, no, it's not. It's going to be a lot to do. It's going to be a lot to do for everybody. It's. I'll tell you that what I'm looking forward to is the wisdom to help us out in the days ahead to know what to do. You know, how to handle certain things. You know, people like Missy and Julie coming to visit. That's a major thing. We got to have some wisdom down here, man. I'm telling you.
Don't worry, anyway. I got to get straight up too.
Well, that's true. Amen. All right. Any more questions on the man, child, and bride? Now that we've settled it somewhat. It's going to be interesting. I don't know how it's all going to transpire, actually. I just know vaguely what's going to happen. Whatever it's going to be, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. We're going to be here until the end. We're going to see the recompense of the wicked. Everybody know that? That the bride gets to see the recompense of the wicked. Praise God. We'll also get to see this revival fixing to start. That's a revival over in the Middle East now that y'all can't believe. You couldn't believe what's going on over there. Started with, in one place, it started with one man. They're all the way up to, I don't know how many thousands now. This is just amazing what God's doing over there. Good gracious. And that ain't the only place either. They're over in China. They're multiplying by millions. They can't even keep up with them over there. It's good stuff. And that's something else that the man child and the bride is going to be doing, getting this gospel, the true gospel out by printed matter, by television, by satellite, by all of those things, all of that stuff. God's going to have us taken care of. That's where the wisdom of God's got to come into play. The resources are coming. It's just nice. It's the wisdom to know what to do with it. I just want to get up and dance and holler Jesus. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be all, folks. Huh? No, I'd have to blank out the video. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else getting excited like I'm getting excited? I'm telling you what, folks, y'all will be getting excited. I'm telling you, every time y'all come together, if you get together, Missy, you talk about going over and Barbara, you and Barbara should have been dancing out in the front yard hollering Jesus. You know, because it's fixing to happen. And then when Gaynold and them come in, y'all should have been out there just greeting them, you know. So y'all come on in here and just showing them the love of God all over, you know. I know you did. Praise the Lord. Yeah.
Hey, Mike.
Did you have any brownies left over? Bring them in the morning, okay? That's just all I'm saying. What, Missy?
If you think you're pumped up now, I think what would really encourage everybody is if you could play that song, Nobody, for us.
Nobody? Okay, I can do that. If y'all want to hear it, the one
in particular where it actually shows them singing it, because you can hear the words pretty well. It's just okay. Them enjoying singing it and everything just helps you. It's just awesome.
Okay. Let y'all believe with me. I command this internet to do like it's supposed to in Jesus' name. I command it to operate and be swift about it too in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Let's see if I can get it on. Somebody can talk about something while I'm doing it. Yeah. I see what's going on. Yeah. You little devil, you get out of there in the name of Jesus. Amen. On mine, just to fill in some gaps here, I had my Wi-Fi on. I wondered what in the world is going on. Y'all won't believe what happened.
What's that?
The recording stopped. Did y'all notice that I had gone offline a while ago?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess it stopped recording when I did. Well, we didn't lose much of it. We lost all the mic'd air time, so that's okay. All right, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, that's all right. But that song just really got me pumped up. I heard it before, but when I came across it today again and listened to it again, it just really caught me. Just really got me excited.
That's praise a good one. I like it. I like it.
Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else got something they'd like to speak about?
What do you think the legal authority is on the men, those guys that are sleeping on the cots? That's holding them down. There's this, when David had that talk set Sunday about the men child, man-childs, on those cots, the 12 of them. He said there was a legal authority. It's why they were asleep. What is that?
Illegal authority.
On them.
Yeah, it's the enemy keeping them back, I suppose. Yeah, Joe.
What about the apostate leadership? Because that's an authority right now, but I guess you could say they're legal. They're not godly, so would that consider it illegal? Just something that came to mind.
Well, they're illegal. You're right there. I don't know how they would be holding the man child back, but it might be. I don't know. Could be, yeah. Missy?
Well, from what I remember David saying, you know, that the Lord's going to take out the Sauls and the apostate leadership before the child is anointed.
That makes sense. That's what Joe was talking about, I think.
Yeah. So, in other words, they're just, they're usurping authority. They don't have it. You know, it's not theirs, and they've taken authority that's not theirs, and they have to be taken down so that the man child can really have the authority.
Yeah.
Is, I guess, my way of thinking.
It could be. It could be. I could ask him, but I think that both of y'all had it. That could be what he's talking about. I'm sorry. I'm kind of at a loss because I didn't listen to that portion of it. I'll try to know better. I will. Yeah. All right. Anybody else? Is that what he's talking about, Leon? Okay.
Ask them if the rest that they're in is their abiding in Christ.
Well, yeah, of course. That's what that is. I would think.
That would be my thought.
Well, wait a minute. Missy's got something else. I know she ain't going to be teaching now.
No, I'm just asking myself to think about this. I'm not teaching. But another thought that came to me, too, is, well, the apostates, you know, all the apostates, I mean, one of the comments that David said that, I forget how he said it, but he said about all the denominations or what was his comment? But the apostate leadership that's usurped, taken authority that's not theirs, you know, really are factions.
Mm-hmm.
Factions. So you could say what came to me is the faction on a whole, you know, too, you know, it's all one big ball of wax, I guess you could say.
Well, yeah, if just think about it, denomination means division, so that's faction in itself.
Yeah.
It could be. What is that? I hear someone going, plum,
plum. It was my clock chiming here.
Okay. All right, Sue.
Yeah, I would like to share the scripture because when you were talking about the anointing oil, it made me think of Psalm 133. And I was wondering if that had anything to do with, you know, end time in end time with man child and the anointing. It's just real short.
Yeah, yeah, you go right ahead.
Psalm 133. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is. According to Wikipedia. Oops. Hold on a second. Here's what I found. My phone is not cooperating. Okay. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head coming down upon the beard. Even Aaron's beard coming down upon the edge of his robes is like the dew of Hermon coming down upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forever. And what crossed my mind was the oil coming down off the head. Christ is the head, right? You know, it is like the precious oil upon the head. Christ being the head coming down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard.
would Aaron be related to like a man child? You know, when you were talking about.
Aaron represents Jesus a lot of ways, whereas Moses was God, as far as symbology goes. So Aaron would be like a man child, be like Jesus. And the anointing oil is the Holy Spirit, of course.
I was just wondering if that related to when the man child comes, too, if that relates. Because they're in unity.
When the temple, the tent, and Aaron, the Levite ministry was anointed, Moses poured oil on Aaron and also anointed the his sons and the other Levites to do service. So they all.
I'm gonna get David up here. Y'all can ask him anything you want to on the hidden manna. He's got to go get dressed though.
Oh boy, all our questions now. Let's see.
Well, it was about the hidden manna. It's about the man child. So Any of those questions that you had, ask him. So I went out on a limb and asked him to come out here. So help us answer some questions. And so think of some questions, write them down, and he'll answer them. If he can't, I will.
So does this Psalm 133 kind of relate to the man-child coming and the oneness of the body?
I don't think Michael heard it. We'll read it again.
I didn't hear it. I'm sorry. Denny, what did you think, Denny?
I've always understood that to be that the anointing that was upon the head, Jesus, comes down upon the body because it comes down upon the skirts of the garment.
Okay, just a minute. Let me get David on here.
Okay.
I hear him sneaking up behind me.
Yeah.
Hey, y'all.
Hey, what's going on, David?
What's going on?
Did you guys invite that angel with you?
Huh?
Did you invite that angel to come in with you?
Oh, that angel, yeah, he's right outside the door.
Yeah, he's watching us.
There's one over across the way, too. One downstairs, too. So careful. Can y'all hear David?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
That's a professional microphone. Okay. Question.
We were wondering about those 12 men, child, you were talking about Sunday that were in the cots. They're under a legal authority to be, that's why they're sleeping. We're wondering about the illegal authority, and we're also wondering about their arrest. What's going on there?
Well, the God is using before the man-child's authority comes on the scene. He's using things secondarily. He's using vessels of dishonor over the people of God in church, in government, so on and so forth. They're exercising authority. God is ruling over that authority, but he's doing it secondarily. And I believe what he's doing is he's coming personally to exercise that authority over the government. You know, the people that were over and above the physical government, they have been waiting for their time, and their times are coming. The Lord is going to wake them up. He's going to anoint them. He's going to exercise authority personally over the physical governments, over the, and I'm not talking about in the natural. I'm not talking about any kind of worldly authority. I'm talking about exercising personal and godly authority over the principalities and powers and over the governments and so on and so forth. We've been doing that. We've been watching our prayers be answered, but I know it's just training what we're seeing right now. God's been hearing our prayers and changing things around us, changing governments, exercising authority over them. The deep state thinks that it's Trump they have to worry about. They just think he's the one, but he's just being propped up there. That's all. God's just anointing him to do from a physical aspect what the man-child ministry is coming to do with a, by a spiritual aspect. This, like when Jesus came, you know, they didn't know that he was exercising the authority to change things and that it was him doing the changing, you know. And today they don't know. They think their mortal enemy is men, you know, that are doing this. Well, those men are just doing what they've received authority from God to do. And God is coming personally, you know, like he did in Jesus Christ. He's coming personally to exercise his authority over the governments of the world, even in using them to do what they do. He's coming personally to do that. He's coming once again to personally exercise his authority. It's always been secondarily. It's always been through vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor that he does this. But those guys that are waking up, they're the real muscle men, you know. Behind the scenes, God's people are changing the world right now. Through prayer and exercising faith and learning that they have faith and learning that they have authority and, binding and loosing the world, the governments of the world. We find out things and the Lord, we've been praying and we've been watching God do the answer. He's been watching him give answers, you know. If they just only understood. Now, I know the devil knows because, like the devil through Herod, tried to kill the man-child and missed him. And that's because the devil knew that he was coming to exercise authority over him. He tried and he missed him. And, of course, this time's no different. You know, they're trying. The dragon is trying to destroy the man-child before he comes to exercise that authority. That's what he was trying to get rid of Jesus for that reason. So that's what I mean about the illegal authority. You know, the real legal authority is God. We're supposed to be under God in everything, you know, and he's coming to exercise that authority. I don't know if that explained it to you or not.
So some of the sleep might be they're not really aware of their power yet, too. Is that like it's part of that training period still? You thinking maybe?
It's true. Jesus didn't exercise any authority until the power of the Holy Spirit came upon him. He didn't heal one person till the power of the Holy Spirit came upon him. He even said, "It's not my time," you know, when his mom wanted him to go to work, you know. Yeah, well, it was, and he realized it, and he did what he was supposed to do, you know. So I think the man-child's in the same situation. It's all training, you know. But as you know, when Jesus trained the disciples, it was training, and they were exercising authority because he gave them authority to go and exercise it, but he was just bringing them to the place where the anointing could come upon them and they would go and do it naturally by the power of God. And that anointing broke the yoke, so to speak, and opened up that authority manifested through them. And same thing's happening with the man-child. I mean, you know, Joseph was in prison before he got that authority. He was in prison, illegally. Yeah, he was in prison because of lies told about him and so on and so forth. He was bound until the time that the Lord anointed him to be over his kingdom. And it's the same way today. You know, there's some people that are going to be awoken by that anointing on that throne authority. And you know, they may not even realize it until, like Jesus, he didn't realize it until God actually exercised it through him, and his mom, you know, told the servants to go and do what he tells you. And they did, and they saw a mighty miracle, you know. So, yeah, I think there's some people that, in effect, they're asleep waiting for this timing to come. And it's nearly upon us.
Another question was asked was, will the man child all over the world get the anointing at the same time, or would it be a this one time, this one another, or will this UBM man child be anointed before or during or what?
Well, we've had revelations from the past where the Lord showed us and showed us that there is the man child body has a head too. Just like the body of Christ has a head. It's supposed to be the man child, and it will be the man child. But the man child body has a head too, and the head is born first, naturally speaking. The head is born first, and that authority, I believe, is going to be given to the head first. So I don't think it's all going to be exactly the same time. I just believe it's going to be very close together. But what it looks like, I don't really know. I mean, I'm just picking up things here and there as the Lord points out parallels to me. And I do believe we're headed in that direction. What it's going to look like, how long a period of time it's going to take for the man-child body to be anointed, I'm not sure. I don't know, have any way to judge that time period. I just know that the first part to come out is the head, right? So
this will happen before a Red Sea crossing.
Yes. Or even in the midst, you know, at the time when it happens, when the Red Sea happens, you know, it could happen right there, you know. We know that, we know from Revelations that the Lord is coming in the midst of an Edomite attack upon his people. He's coming to save his people from the Edomites. In Isaiah, of course, his clothing was stained with the blood of the Edomites because he was bringing judgment against them for their being a traitor to their brethren, you know. And, of course, the faction in both the government and in the church is that Edomite faction. And I believe that the man-child is going to be the ones that judge that because, you know, when David came to the throne, he judged Edom. He conquered them. And he put garrisons in the Edomite, in among the Edomites to control them. And he conquered them. And as, you know, Ezekiel 34 speaks of the coming of the man-child, and Ezekiel 35 speaks of the conquering of the Edomites. So I believe we're going to see something here that's it's going to be the man-child exercising his authority to bring things to pass. He has been caught up to the throne for a reason. Primarily, it's to save his people. And in particular, the bride, primarily, from the Edomites. So, and of course, they're the Judases. They're the people that are, you know, trying to destroy the bride.
Now, these Edomites probably aren't aware of the man-child until he's brought on the scene, I would assume. That's why we don't see the attack. I mean, they haven't come in first yet either, right? They're together as a group they hate, but they haven't got a target yet, maybe? I don't know.
They're in the midst of persecuting. They're in the midst of attempting. They're part of the dragon. They're attempting to devour the man-child. They're the spiritual, for us, it's the spiritual Edomites or Esau's who hated their brother, persecuted their brother, and they're going to be in the midst of this when the man child comes. Go ahead, Missy.
I'm chomping at the bit. I was thinking about Sandy's dream that she had about the election and that Trump won and then Civil War broke out. Is that like the, that's the deep state rebelling against the fact that Trump is elected?
Yes. Right?
Yeah. Okay. And that's a pair, that's also a parallel to the rebellion of the church faction against the man child, right? There's always that parallel running, right?
Yes.
Okay. So then when that happens, is that when the man child is going to, you said the man child, executes judgment on the Edomites? Is that when that's going to be then, you think, or?
They're going to be in the midst of an attack against the church and against the United States, this Edomite faction, when I believe the man-child shows up. Actually, the Lord shows up. The Lord shows up in the man-child to do this work.
Mm-hmm.
David is anointed to the throne in order to conquer the Edomites who are warring against God's people.
Okay.
Anybody else? Yeah, Denny.
Yeah, I had a question, David, on Ephesians 4. And it talks about, you know, the fivefold ministry given for the perfecting of the saints till we all come into the knowledge, of the unity of the faith, I think it is, and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Is that perfect man in the church, is that the man child?
Well, he's just the first fruits of that man. The perfect man is Christ all and in all. And he's just the first fruits of that. But somebody's got to come along to be able to teach that and exercise that and demonstrate that. And that's what Jesus did. Jesus raised up the fivefold ministry. He did it by first raising up apostles. And he sent the apostles forth to ordain the fivefold ministry. So, and the purpose was, of course, so that Jesus would come not only in the body of the man-child, but also in the body of the church, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. And so it's a progressive thing of bringing salvation back to the church. The church actually coming into being the church, the called out ones, you know. It was Jesus that did that. He called them out. You know, he came in John chapter 10, and he called his sheep by name, and he called them out. And that's when they were called the church, is when they came out. Right now, they don't have that demonstration, that very powerful demonstration that Jesus gave in order to call out a people to follow him, to be a witness of the ministry that he had, to learn from him, to come into the same image. You know, he's our demonstration. You know, he's our power. So, but no, the man child is just the first fruits of what God wants to do in the rest of the body. Will he complete that? No, I don't think so. But there's going to be a lot of people that are going to come into that hundredfold, not just the man-child. And I think the bride, of course, is a symbol of a people that are going to be the first to follow the man-child and to also turn and demonstrate the man-child through them to the body. I mean, they went out in the power of Jesus. The two witnesses did. They went out in the power of Jesus, and they demonstrated Jesus. And it was because of that that they called them Christians, because they demonstrated Jesus. They talked like Jesus. They walked like Jesus. They had power like Jesus. They spoke like Jesus, you know. And, of course, this is something God's got to demonstrate again to the church, because they think Jesus is the guy standing in the pulpit, you know. And nothing could be further from the truth, you know. So once again, you know, the Pharisees and Sadducees, they were jealous. They had the control. They had authority. It was all illegal, you know. But Jesus was coming to demonstrate the real authority and to demonstrate what power over sin and the curse is, and that these people were just children, you know. And some were very rebellious children. So,
Sue had a question on Psalm 133.
I was just wondering, when they were talking about the anointing oil and, you know, who was going to, you know, how they were going to receive it and all this stuff. I was drawn to look up Psalm 133, and I was wondering whether this psalm relates to what the man-child, you know, relating to the man-child, because there's the, you know, they dwell on unity, the oneness, and it's like the oil that comes down from the head and to Aaron's head and onto his beard and then down into onto his robe. It just made me think of, you know, the desire that the Lord wants. He wants the oneness, and the only way we're going to get that oneness is when we get more of Him in us. I was just wondering if that related to the man-child ministry.
Oh, probably so. You know, the high priest, of course, you know, is Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think so. That anointing oil that's going to come down, it's going to make one. You know, Jesus spoke about one flock and one shepherd. And that anointing is going to bring that to pass. You know, one flock and one shepherd. I mean, and all of these people that flocked around Jesus, I mean, they were all from different flocks of the denominations of Judaism. And that's why they were called the church, the called out ones. They came out, you know. And, of course, this demonstration of power and wisdom and authority over the curse is going to be once again given to the two witnesses to go forth and do the same thing.
Amen.
Okay.
This is kind of a tough thing to think about, but we see the unity coming, and it says it's going to happen, and you said it was going to happen Sunday too. It's going to bring this unity of the church together, and they're going to, you know, they're going to have that, not going to have anything division or dividing them anymore. But back in Jesus's day, not all the Jews came out of Judaism. I mean,
right.
It's still going to be like that today with the church too.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Because we've come to know the church as a bigger body than it actually is. The church is a very small body compared to what is called the church. If you haven't come out, you're not the ecclesia. And Jesus came to draw them out of the apostasy that they were in. And the man-child's got the same ministry. You know, the anointing and the power is going to be upon them for them to recognize Jesus and what they've been missing in the church and what they've called the church, I should say, you know. So the real church was the people that followed Jesus out of the apostate institutions. And once again, that's where we're going. And in order to do this, they've got to lose respect for those apostate institutions, or they've got to be removed. And that's why God is going to, I feel, loose the deep state to attack and to bring down some of this illegal authority. People who have come into the church who are not circumcised in heart, that he said would not come into his assembly, that they would not come into his temple. And there's people ruling in the church. It's like Isaiah spoke about illegally. Their children, they got no business in the pulpit at all. They haven't obeyed yet. You know, they haven't come out themselves. How can they draw other people out? So I believe that the deep state has still got some work to do in bringing judgment to the apostate church. And God is in control of that. So that's going to weaken what people consider to be the church and weaken in their eyes who is the church. And otherwise people are not going to follow the man-child when he shows up. And I think God's in the process of opening the eyes of the church and physically removing some of the false leadership. So this is going to give a chance to the people to go into the wilderness. You know, right now I don't think they would follow the man-child into the wilderness. The Lord's got to bring this judgment first.
Missy, did you want to ask David about the tip of the spear that we were talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought he already kind of answered that. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, those are revelations that were given to us to show us the same thing about the birth of the man-child. The head comes first.
Right.
Yes. So there are forerunners that are bringing this revelation of who the man-child is. Otherwise, people wouldn't recognize him, you know, and they wouldn't be looking and listening and waiting for him like they were when Jesus came. There's most of the church does not recognize what's about to happen, that a bunch of reformers are going to be anointed to come and to bring the church through the wilderness. And of course, those people themselves are in training to be prepared to be able to lead people where the church leaders can't lead them. They've never been there, so they can't lead them. Remember Moses, he came from the mountain of God. And from the mountain of God, he went back to his people who were in bondage in Egypt in order to lead them out to the mountain of God. How did he know where to go? Well, he went there first. That's why. So.
Oh, I have a question, David. Eve saw the angel holding the hourglass over by the
water bucket.
Yeah, the water bucket, water purifier. Was there any sand in that hourglass at all?
I don't think she recognized it or knew it. All she knew is it was an hourglass, which an hour is a short period of time to us, you know. I just think the Lord was saying it's a short time until the swamp is drained. Because there was a sign right there by that drained the swamp, the sign was. And that's where the angel's been standing, and that's where he takes his sword and he taps it up against that sign every once in a while. That's his job, you know. And I think he was just saying it's a short time till we're going to see this.
Okay.
That's Shem.
Yeah.
That's old Shem.
Shem is the name.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, anybody else? Got a question on the bride or the man-child?
I suppose we'll see John the Baptist ministry come up shortly, if it's not already here. Get people prepared.
It's already coming up.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we will see that the ministry of the John the Baptist is what's going to lead up to the ministry of Jesus in the man child. So that's, of course, repentance. Repentance is going to bring about this, like John the Baptist's job, who was to prepare the way for the coming of the Lord, the preaching of repentance. If people don't know what to repent from, which they didn't when they were in bondage, they thought, "Oh, we're the Jews. We're the people of God. You know, we're so on and so forth." But Jesus, John the Baptist, brought repentance, which enabled the way for the coming of the Lord, and that's what I believe is being preached right now. The spirit of John the Baptist is repent, change your mind. This is not Christianity. You know, there is a Christianity. And so I believe that's leading people to be interested in the man child, to be forewarned of his coming, to study the word of God and to see what's coming. It's a change. It's a great change. So people have to be ready for the change. And I think that's what the Lord's doing now. I think the John the Baptist is it's a spirit that's in the church today, warning people to repent and to turn back to what was first ordained and given. And people don't have to know that there's an opportunity to do that, and they don't know that. Most of them don't know that, but they will see a demonstration and. And they will know it because repentance has been preached. So the demonstration is coming quickly.
Is that it? Oh, go, David.
Okay. We got John the Baptist. We got the man-child. Where is this about in relation to the covenant made with many?
Well, like in Revelation chapter 12, the woman went into the wilderness at the time of the covenant with many. But before that happened, the dragon was seeking to destroy the man child. And that's been happening. And the Edomites have worked very hard. Herod was an Edomite, and Herod was, of course, an authority at the time of the crucifixion of Jesus. And Herod is his authority is going to be broken. Herod attempted to kill the man child and failed. And then, of course, he destroyed a lot of other people that were, contemporaries of the man-child. And we're seeing that with the faction. So this is being demonstrated now, and the signs are there now, and it's leading up to the coming of the man-child, and I think that's very soon.
So when the woman goes in the wilderness, we know that. That covenant with many has been signed at that point, because that starts that tribulation period.
Right. Right. And we may not know, that has been accomplished, but we've got a lot of signs of different things that happen at the beginning that's going to help us to know that. And some people, I don't think they're even going to know the tribulation started when it does start.
Well, yeah, it says that what in, oh, geez, what's that? I'll have to find it, but it talks about the women, silly women, basically at ease for, the first year and a half, not really realizing that the tribulation had started.
Well, yeah, A lot of people are not going to realize it. In fact, the signs that their preachers are telling them, they're not going to recognize them because what they're telling them is a lie, you know. What they're telling them is they're going to fly away, you know. And so if they don't fly away, they don't believe the tribulation started. And they're going to be in the midst of it. And of course, being in the midst of it and finding that there are people who are walking in the steps of Jesus could awaken quite a good many of them when they see the demonstration of Jesus, right?
And there are even some that don't even know what a tribulation is all about. They see stuff in Revelation, like from a Lutheran background or Catholic background, but they don't even realize this is really going to happen. This is something they're going through.
Yeah.
Yeah, Leon.
Yeah, also, David, you talk about the first 3.5 years being relatively calm, at least for us anyway. So I would imagine that a lot of people wouldn't recognize that part of it being the tribulation. They just think that's one big mess. And I know that there'll be a lot of people killed during that time as well, but that's another reason they wouldn't recognize it, because there's some amount of peace.
Yeah, the mark of the beast, which comes around the middle of the tribulation period, you know, is when the war is made, like in Revelation 13, the beast makes war with the saints. And before that, there was a relative calm, and I believe that's what Trump has been sent to do, is to give us a little time to get the church in order before the mark of the beast. Jacob is small. How would he stand, you know? So he's just giving us a little time is what he's doing.
Now I'm thinking when we're saying calm, we're talking like it's not all persecution yet, because even right now what we're seeing is adversity, and even Jesus' time when he was there, he had adversity of the Pharisees, he had adversity of Herod, you know, the governments a little bit, but that persecution didn't start until after his ascension. I mean, he was, of course, crucified, which would be like the two witnesses, I guess, in that sense.
Yeah, well, yeah, the two witnesses also went through their crucifixion, you know. Jesus is coming in his man-child to go through this crucifixion of the dragon, attempting to destroy the man-child, but failing. And, of course, they wanted to kill Moses, you know. There was an attempt to kill Moses, just like there was through Herod to destroy the man-child, and it failed. And Moses was caught up to the throne of God at the mountain of God and ordained and sent back to Egypt to bring the people out. And so, yep. Same thing's happening, getting ready to happen.
Go ahead, who is first? Go ahead, Julie. Good to see you tonight.
Hey, Brother Michael. Hey, Brother David.
Hey, how's it going?
Great, thank you. I have a question. How does the timing of Nibiru, Planet X, how does that fit together with all this happening, the judgments and the beginning of the tribulation and the anointing? And
well, I think we're beginning to see the effects of Nibiru now, and that will be worse and worse leading up to the crossing. And the great earthquakes that are going to go around the globe. And I believe that the man child is going to show up in the midst of that, you know, that those earthquakes and the crossing and so on and so forth. So seems to be a lot of, there's a guy, we were just reading his revelations called Dr. Sam, who is a Portuguese preacher, and he's been getting revelations of the coming crossing and predicting, not sure exactly, he's not trying to tie it down as much as some, but he knows it's going to happen within the next year or so, I believe, you know. So I think that this thing's going to show up, and it is very well hidden. And of course, when it starts growing its tail, it becomes visible. I'm not saying the tail's growing. I'm just saying it's going to be visible, become visible. And, you know, I think we're going to have something like a 40-day perception when it comes around the sun and starts passing between the earth and the sun, headed towards the crossing. And that's going to be a particularly bad time for planet Earth. And then we, of course, pass through the tail of that thing for about an hour while it, in effect, sandblasts the Earth from different size things that are following it. That's going to be a terrible time of fireballs falling to the Earth and such things as that. So I think that the man-child's coming, and I believe we've had dreams and revelations about the earthquakes that actually span the globe at that particular time, because the globe is turning as it's facing this thing, and it's causing a land tide, which is going to, in effect, cause earthquakes to go around the globe as Planet X passes by in front of the orbit of Earth. So, and I believe that those earthquakes, according to the revelations that we've had, are going to come at the time. In fact, we got one of them this morning. It was the first one we got this morning. You have the text of the first revelation that we got this morning. First one we read was the first one we received this morning, which was a revelation of that.
Are you talking about the word we got?
Yeah.
Somebody got it.
First, that was Deb.
No, it's on this other one over here. Deb's up there.
Deb Horton. Deb Horton.
No, I don't have it on here. It's on that other computer.
Yeah.
Well, you remember what it
was? Isaiah 64, 1 and 2.
Yes, that's it. Somebody want to read that?
Yeah. You want to read it, Tim?
I think it's maybe 1 through 3.
Sure. You give me a second to get there.
Sixty-four, 1, 2, 3.
I think so.
Yeah. You ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Oh, that thou wouldst rend the heavens, thou wouldst come down, that the mountains might quake at thy presence, as when fire kindleth the brushwood, and the fire causes water to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence, when thou didst terrible things which we look not for. Thou camest down; the mountains quaked at thy presence.
Yeah, and to make thy name known to thine adversaries is probably a judgment upon the Edomites, or the Sennacherib scenario, or the Northern Army scenario, or the Jehoshaphat scenario or the Red Sea scenario. We're seeing a bringing down, just the foretaste of a bringing down of the deep state faction, which is ruled over the people of God, like the Edomites were ruling over the people of God, you know. And we're seeing a foretaste of that as they bring down these people. They're about, I believe, to, with the Pfizer report and things like that, they're ready to do something more wholesale. So there's a big shaking coming. They're not going to take it easily.
Yeah, Missy. Sorry, Danny. I'll get you next time, bud.
As far as Planet X and the dream or revelation that Eve had, that anywhere from 6 months to a year, which would be when she had that back in May, that would be like now November to May. Okay, yes. So, and I think you shared something too about that Terrell, has been pretty, Terrell Croft has been pretty good at predicting because of planet alignments, and there's this magnetic pull and it causes earthquakes. And I know there's he anticipates something major in May.
It was the 22nd or something like that. And 6 months before would be November the 22nd. That's where it's a possibility that we're going to start seeing more manifestation of the Planet X judgment upon the Earth.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask Missy now, about a month ago, there was a video about a guy that had a shield for welding shield, and he was looking at the sun, and there was a planet next to it, and he moved it all around so he showed it wasn't an anomaly on his iPhone. But Missy, did you ever put those glasses on and check that out?
Yeah, but it was hard to, because there's, one day I looked and the sun was behind trees in the morning time, and okay. I don't know if I, and another time I did, and I'm not sure, I don't think I got a real clear view then. I might have, and I don't think that I saw anything.
Okay.
Well, if that would have been Planet X, we would be in trouble already.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, there's been a steady stream of these visions, revelations, or whatever, you know. And if it was that close, we'd be in terrible trouble right now.
Well, what it was behind the sun. It was to the side of the sun, but it was somewhere behind it. So
it couldn't have been very far behind it if it was that size.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
The sun is monstrous. Okay. You know, for it to be that big.
Well, isn't Nibiru that big?
It's big, but it's more like maybe 8 times bigger than the Earth.
Oh, okay.
To us, it's big, you know, and of course, it's going to throw a shadow over the Earth. It's going to blot out the sun.
Right.
So it's pretty big. But when you put it up next to the sun, if it's that big, it's very close. It's on top of us. And whenever we've had those kind of things in the past,
It never panned out.
It never happened. If it was that close to us and it's heading towards the Earth, coming around the sun, you only got days before it crosses.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Because the distance between the sun and Earth is 1 AU. So if this thing's, depending upon how fast it's traveling.
Yeah.
It would only be within days it would be reaching us by that time.
Yeah.
Well, Friday's the 22nd, so.
Well, you know, this Dr. Sam, he was pointing out why it's behind the sun and why it's coming from that direction and so on and so forth, and why people don't know it until it actually comes out from around the sun and starts coming across the Earth's path, you know. So it's the Lord ordained it to be hidden until, you know, he wanted it to be seen, obviously. I imagine that this will be great days of repentance, you know.
Benny, did you have a question?
Yes. And the, you know, what the birthing of the man child, like we saw in the sky last September 18th of 2018. Was it 17? 18. 17? I forget. Was, okay, we saw that in the sky, in the birthing of a man child. Was that just still a sign, or was that suggesting that it's happening, or that it's still going to happen, or, you know, where, in other words, what's our takeaway on that whole sign that we saw? Is everyone familiar with that? What happened in the sky?
Still about in the solar system. I mean, the stars.
Yeah, well, it was still quite a ways out at that time. Still quite a ways out. It very well could have been exactly what we're thinking it is, you know.
I'm talking about the sign of the birthing of the man child when Jupiter was born out of Virgo.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the sign, the in Revelation 12, the woman clothed with the sun, the moon at her feet, and the 12 stars at her head. And then we saw Jupiter birthed out of Virgo. And we saw that sign.
Mm-hmm.
Is in that, you know, because it says there's a sign in the heaven, which happened, a great sign in the heaven. Where are we at as far as, would you say that, someone could say, well, look at that, the man child's already birthed, or someone could say, it's just a sign of still coming, because the man child's birthed and then caught up to the throne, you know, and then of course you still had the dragon out there, which probably represented, Saturn, but anyway, I just thought, are you hearing, you know what I'm meaning, David?
Yes, I think I know what you mean. Was it happening at that moment, or was it just a sign of the coming? I think it's just another sign of the coming, yeah.
Another sign,
yeah. Okay. And we've had quite a few, you know, we've always wondered, well, is this it, you know? But yeah, we've had really a lot of signs, you know, and the Lord just keeps reminding us. I mean, I see 144 on the clock all the time, you know, either backwards or forwards. And it's a sign. The Lord is telling us, hey, I'm coming, you know. In fact, I saw it this morning. Yeah.
Okay, we're about out of time. As a matter of fact, we're about 15 minutes out of time. That's okay. That's fine.
Thank you, David.
Thank you,
David. Yeah, enjoyed it. Lord bless y'all.
Yeah, thanks, David. Thanks for the question and answering session.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know how much I answered, but
a lot.
It helped. Thanks.
Yeah. Amen. We'll learn a lot in the days to come for sure. God bless y'all. I'm going back to work.
Bless you.
Thank you, David.
Thanks.
Bless you.
Okay.
You too.
All right,
that's his once a year show up now. All had your chance.
You should have had some wine and bread too.
yeah, he was right in the middle of something, but he decided to come on up, which is good. Well, Lord, we just thank you for bringing this on. We hope that we're all ready. We know we will be if you're involved in the faith that you've given us. Lord, we all believing we're going to be in the bride. Some are believing they're going to be in the man child. Those who are believing and got faith going to do it. And Father, we just praise you for all the work you're doing in us to getting us prepared for this great happening. And Lord, we praise you for it. And Lord, we just thank you for all that you're doing for us. And Father, just know that we can't make anything without you, Lord. We can't walk without you, Lord. And we need to have that in our mind at all times, Lord, that we need to rely on you all the time. And Father, we just praise you. Thank you, Lord, because you're going to get my praise. Thank you, Father. Good night, y'all. Bless you.